Okay, as we're approaching, getting closer to Tisha B'Av, the day that commemorates the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, perhaps the day most identified with the mourning that the Jewish people do because of their being in Golus, being in exile, I think it's important to try to understand the significance of Tisha B'Av this year, and for that matter, Shavuos B'Tamuz this year. This year, Tisha B'Av and Shavuos B'Tamuz were both nidcha. They were postponed. Shavuos B'Tamuz fell out in Shabbos, as will Tisha B'Av. The ninth of Av will fall out in Shabbos. And of course, we cannot fast and we cannot mourn on the Shabbos day. And consequently, the fast and the mourning are postponed to the next day, to Sunday. So we should focus perhaps on the significance and perhaps on the reason for the significance between Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av that falls out, that is observed on the ninth of Av, when it falls out on a weekday, and the significance of Tisha B'Av when it's postponed to a Sunday, as it is this year. Now, from a halachic perspective, there are a number of differences. But the main difference that is mentioned in halacha, that is always quoted, is the halacha of a Baal Bris. The halacha is that if somebody has a child whose bris takes place on a particular day, or if somebody is the sandik, he holds the child during the bris milah, or he's the moa. So the day that the bris milah takes place for them is a minor holiday. It is a Yom Tov Shalom. And the halacha is brought down. It's based on an incident mentioned in the Gemara in Tainis, but the halacha is brought down that if Tisha B'Av is not postponed, let's say Tisha B'Av falls out on a Sunday or a Monday or a Tuesday, and somebody has a child that had a bris on that day, so he has to fast half the day, and then he davens mincha, of course he has to wait the extra half hour after chatzos, that is also always necessary before one can daven mincha. And he says aneinu in his Shmon Esrei, in his tefillah. And then he can break his... So, excuse me, I'm sorry. When it fell out, when Tisha B'Av fell out on its regular day, so he has to fast the whole day. However, if Tisha B'Av was a nidcha, if Tisha B'Av was postponed, it was postponed from Shabbos to Sunday, and his child went through bris milah on the postponed day of Tisha B'Av, on Sunday when Tisha B'Av fell like on Shabbos, as it is this year, then the halacha is that he only has to fast half a day. He stavens mincha. He says aneinu. And then he breaks his fast. So in other words, when Tisha B'Av is not postponed, irregardless of the fact that he's a Baal Bris, that his child had a Bris Milah, that he was the Sandik at a Bris, he held the baby at the Bris, or that he was the Mole at the Bris, nevertheless, he has to fast the whole day. He can only break his fast. He can only break his fast after Tzeisin HaChavim, with nightfall. However, when Tisha B'Av is postponed, so seemingly the Tisha B'Av is less stringent than those circumstances. And because it's less stringent, after he davens mincha, he could break his fast. Why? Because l'fi sheyom tov shalohu. Because it's his personal holiday. So, and it's interesting, there is a dispute between the Vilna Gaon and most of the other poskim. And I'm not going to discuss the shita of the Vilna Gaon today, but the Magen Avraham, and it seems that way from the Beis Yosef, that what is true about Tisha B'Av is true about the other fast days as well. In other words, Tisha B'Av is Shabbos of Tammuz that was not postponed. One has to fast the whole day. Even if it's his personal holiday, even if his son had a bris meal on that day, he has to fast the whole day. But if it's a Sunday that became a Tisha B'Av that was postponed from Shabbos, as it is this year, then he only has to fast half the day. And the question is, why should it be that way? Now, in addition, there is another significance this year, which is based on the fact that Tisha B'Av is postponed. There are stringencies that apply to the week of Tisha B'Av. Let's say there is a custom. Not to eat meat. There's a custom not to eat meat during the 9 days. But if there is a sudas mitzvah, if there is a meal that is identified as a meal of mitzvah, let's say you have a bris milah during the 9 days, or you have, or there is a siyum. Someone completed a mesechta, one tractate in the Talmud, according to many of the farshim, many of the poskim, I should say, if somebody finished a book of Tanakh. So it's also, the meal is considered to be a sudas mitzvah. It's the celebration of a mitzvah. Now, the post can mention, when it comes to something like the siyum, you shouldn't make a siyum in order to eat meat. Not everybody is careful about that. The poskim say that, matter of fact, during the 9 days, which begins this Friday, of course, this has no application to Shabbos. During the 9 days, if someone wants to eat, if a person has a connection to the person who's making the seal, let's say he's a relative, he's a close friend, and he would be attending that seal in any case, whether it was during the 9 days or it wasn't during the 9 days. So then during that, even though there is a custom during the 9 days not to eat meat, nevertheless, if there is a seum, he could eat meat at the seum. If there is a bris, he could eat during the 9 days. He could eat meat also, because it's a sudas mitzvah. However, if it's the week of Tisha B'Av, so you're not allowed to have at this Sudas Mitzvah, at this Mitzvah meal, you're not allowed to have more than 10 men, 10 people at the bris or at the meal. Well, you could have more, but only 10 are allowed to eat meat. Only 10 are allowed to eat meat. So we see there's a difference between the 9 days and the week of Tisha B'Av. And there are other differences also. So the question is, what about this year? This year, Tisha B'Av falls out in Shabbos, but it's postponed to Sunday. So the way we paskin, the observance of the laws of Tisha B'Av only apply, the observance of the laws of the week of Tisha B'Av only apply to that week up till the day of Tisha B'Av, and of course, including Tisha B'Av, and to some degree, the day after Tisha B'Av. But it doesn't apply the whole week. So the question is, this year, Tisha B'Av falls out in Shabbos, but is postponed to Sunday. So which week is considered the week of Tisha B'Av? Is it the week of the date of Tisha B'Av? Is it the week of the date of Tisha B'Av that is considered the week of Tisha B'Av? So in other words, the whole previous week has the stringencies of the week of Tisha B'Av. Or no, it's the following week. And since there's really only one day, it's just a Sunday, so there is no real halachos, no law regarding the week of Tisha B'Av. Because the laws of Tisha B'Av, you have to observe on Sunday. So there's a disagreement between the there is a disagreement between the Smag and the Rush. The Rush says the significance in terms of determining the week of Tisha B'Av is only the week that Tisha B'Av, that the laws of mourning of Tisha B'Av are practiced. That means that the previous week, even though Tisha B'Av falls out in Shabbos, that week is not considered the week of Tisha B'Av. because Shabbos we do not observe the laws of mourning and the laws of fasting. And the Shita, the opinion of the Smag, is that no, the week that it falls, that the date of Tisha B'Av falls out, even though we do not observe any of the law, any of the practices of Tisha B'Av on Shabbos, nevertheless, that week is considered the week of Tisha B'Av. Because from the perspective of the calendar, that is the week of Tisha B'Av. The ninth of Av falls of that week. The ninth of Av is part of that previous week. So we have to understand, even though our custom, the general custom, certainly among Ashkenazic Jews, the general custom is that this year, no week is identified as the week of Tisha B'Av. Nevertheless, we have to understand the opinion of the Smag, who says that the previous week is considered the week of Tisha B'Av because it's the Shabbos of that week that is the calendar date of Tisha B'Av, of the ninth of Av. Now, I think we could understand it in the following manner, and that is that in Jewish thought, time is considered to go in a circle. Pesach, specifically Pesach. Pesach, we say, Chayav Adam Liros Isatzmo Ki Liyotzami Mitzrayim. There's a mitzvah Pesach at night for a Jew to see himself as if he went out of the land of Egypt. It is not only a celebration of something that happened thousands of years ago, but from a halachic perspective, to a certain degree, Pesach at night, he is confronting the Exodus. Pesach at night, the Exodus is taking place. And that's why there's a special mitzvah of Hallel, Pesach at night. And no other event is there a mitzvah of Hallel at night. Why is Pesach night different? Because Pesach night, B'chol dor v'dor chayav adam liros ha'atzmo k'li yotza mishiva mitzrayim, he has to see himself as if he is going out of the land of Egypt. In a sense, the exit is taking place at that very moment. And even in the other holidays, the idea of re-experiencing is significant. Not to the degree that it is at Pesach night, but that's the nature of holidays. The nature of holidays is that we come back to that moment. We come back to that day. When we come to the day, in a sense, we're returning to the event. So we are returning to the event. And we have to understand the significance of returning to that event. It's not just something that happened thousands of years ago. It's not just an anniversary, but it's something very real, and it's part of us. And I want to suggest that we could say the same is true in understanding Tisha B'Av that's a Nidcha. In other words, when the Chachamim or the Nevi'im or the prophets instituted the fast day, there was a difference between the way it was instituted in regard to the fast day, when it fell out on its proper day, and the way it was instituted when it was a nidcha, when it was pushed off, when it was not on the same day. And I think what it is that when it's not pushed off, now it's true, great tragedies happened on the 10th of Av also. There were some that even suggested that perhaps the tragedy of the 10th of Av might have been more significant than the tragedy of the 9th of Av. But nevertheless, because the prophets or because the Chachamim of the different generations selected the 9th of Av, they said that the 9th of Av should be determined, be the day where not only you fast, where not only you mourn, but you are returning to the event. Once the Chachamim said that the date should be determined when the fire was first lit that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So on the 9th of Av, we are confronted, they made the 9th of Av as the day that we return to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It's no longer just something of the past. We are standing there. You could suggest that we're standing in the past, and you could suggest that the past is in the present, whatever it is. But we are confronting the tragedy. But when it's a nidcha, when it's a postponed fast, because the fast was, irregardless of what events might have taken place on that day, irregardless of what events might have taken place on that day, nevertheless, that day is observed not because of the event that took place on that day, but because it was the day after the event took place. So in a sense, when Tisha B'Av is a nidcha, when Tisha B'Av is postponed, so we are not confronting the event. We are looking back at the event. And I think we could suggest that that's the explanation of the shita of the opinion of the Smag. The Smag says, and especially the way my uncle understood the Smag, that Shavuot Shel Chal Tisha B'Av Lios Besocha is the main day of the fast. It's no fast. Shabbos, there's no fast. But it's the calendar date of the fast. What is the significance of the fact that it's the calendar date? In other words, in a sense, this is the week of the Churban. Shavua Shechal Tisha B'Av Lios Besocho means that this is the week of the Churban. Even though halachically we can't mourn on Tisha B'Av, even though halachically we cannot fast on Tisha B'Av, but Tisha B'Av is the day of the Churban. Consequently, the week of Tisha B'Av is the week of the Korban. And I think that this is the week we could understand the opinion of the Magen Avraham on this basis also. Because, in other words, when the fast day falls out on a regular day, when the fast day falls out on a regular day, so then and it's not postponed. So we are confronting the Churban. We are confronting the tragedy. We are not looking back at the tragedy as much as we're facing the tragedy. And when we confront the tragedy, how can one have a Yom Tov Shalom? How can he have his personal yontif if the Beis HaMikdash is being destroyed in front of him? How could one have a Yom Tov Shalom? Yes, the Bris Milah is significant and the Bris Milah has to take place. But there can't be a celebration when the Beis HaMikdash is burning. There can't be a celebration when the walls of Yerushalayim are broken down and the enemy is coming in and slaughtering the residents of Yerushalayim and heading towards the Beis HaMikdash. So it loses its status. It cannot get the significance of a Yom Tov Shalom because we are confronting these tragedies. However, when Tisha B'Av is postponed, so halachically, it's not really identified with the events of that particular day. Since it's not identified halachically with the events of that particular day, so in a sense, we're looking back. We're looking back at Golos, we're looking back at exile. But we're not confronting the tragedy as it's happening. We're not even necessarily going back into the past, but we're looking back at the past. So, of course, when we think about the past, it's very sad. When we think about the tragedy, when we think about the wounds that have not been healed, when we think about the millions of Jews that have been killed throughout the exile, but there is a recognition that life goes on. So there is room for it to still be a Yom Tov Shalom, a personal holiday. So therefore, when Tisha B'Av is postponed, and the other fast days are postponed, it could be a Yom Tov Shalom. It could be his personal holiday if his son had a Bris Milah, if he was the Moel, if he was the Sandik. Now, I think that it's significant to understand, but I think that when Tisha B'Av is a Nidcha, it presents a certain challenge to us concerning Tisha B'Av that is not there when Tisha B'Av is not a Nidcha. because when we're looking back at Golus, and there were the tragedies of Golus itself were much greater than the tragedies of Golus itself were much greater in a certain sense than the actual Churban itself. My father, Zatzal, told me that he heard from his cousin, Rav Michal Feinstein Zatzal, that there was once a discussion between Rav Chaim Ozer and Rav Elchanan Wasserman. They were brothers-in-law. And Rav Elchanan Wasserman said that Rav Elchanan Wasserman said that the tragedy of the Holocaust might have started at that point. I don't know, but the tragedy of the Holocaust was not yet known throughout the world. Of course, the whole world, even though today they're denying it, was aware to a certain degree that was going on. But people manipulated that the extent of the tragedy should not be known. But Rav Elchanan Wasserman said, this is something that you find in a limited way in his writings, that the tragedy that is going to take place I don't know exactly when this conversation took place. Chaim Ozer was in Vilna. Certainly, to the end of his life, Rav Elchanan Wasserman, I think, was in Kovna, in the Kovna ghetto. But whenever it took place, and Rav Elchanan Wasserman sensed that there were black clouds, clouds of tragedy. And he said, the catastrophe that is going to take place will be greater than the tragedy that took place at the time of the Churban. And at that time, Reb Chaim Ozer responded to Rav Elchanan Wasserman, and he said, how could a part of something be greater than the whole? Now, in terms of the numbers of Jews that were killed, that were massacred, there is no doubt that the tragedy of the Holocaust those killed, the communities destroyed, war greater in number than the tragedy that took place, than the numbers in the tragedy that took place at the time of the Churban. But Chaim Ozer, of course, is correct, that all that is part of the Churban. And when we look back, certainly at an ideal level, we have to see all the tragedies of Golus, of the exile period, as if it's connected and related. Even though chronologically it was separated by so many years, so many centuries, so many generations, but it's all connected. But the test that we face is when we confront the tragedy itself, when we confront the Churban Beis HaMikdash, when we confront, if we are Jews, that are in Europe at the time, and should be in America also, because their tragedy is our tragedy. I'm not sure that the Jews in America, for the most part, understood it at that time. When we confront the tragedy itself, life. There can't be a Yom Tov Shalom. How can we be happy? Millions of Jews are being killed. The Beis HaMikdash is being destroyed. And even more than that, unfortunately, throughout the generations, Hergel, we've become used to things. And the more we become used to something, if we're not standing at that event at that moment, even though it's something that happened yesterday and might happen tomorrow again, it doesn't have the same impact. And the more time passes, the more the years pass by, it makes less of an impression upon us. When Tisha B'Av is a nitcha, we're not confronting the event from a halachic perspective in the same way we're confronting the event when it's not a nitcha. But it challenges us to understand that all the events throughout the Golus, when we look back and we see all the tragedies that took place, not just on Tisha B'Av itself, not just on that calendar day, but all the tragedies that took place throughout all of the exile, we have to understand the significance of those events. We have to understand the significance of Golus. And we have to understand the importance of looking forward to the Jewish people, seeing the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and the Jewish people returning to their land and to the coming of Mashiach. And I think this year, when Tisha B'Av is, when Tisha B'Av is postponed, and from a halachic perspective, there isn't that same emphasis, not saying completely not, but there isn't that same emphasis in regard to confronting the tragedy as it's happening in front of us, as it is. There are, it still applies in regard to certain halachas, but not in the same manner. So it's important for us to understand the significance of the tragedies of Golus and the need to look forward to our redemption. And we have to look forward to the coming of Mashiach and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay.
If anyone has any questions, please put them in the chat. Does this mean that this year, when it's postponed, our focus on Sunday should be the tragedies more than the Chorban?
I don't think that I think that we focus on the fact that all the tragedies are part of the Chorban. I would say the difference is that when we're looking back at the events and the when Tisha B'Av falls out and is not postponed, we are there at Tisha B'Av looking forward, seeing the Chorban and seeing what's going to happen as a result of the Chorban. That's the way I would see it.
Okay, someone said, someone asked if the fact that Tisha B'Av and Shivas Betamuz fall on Shabbos, should we keep that should it lead us into a fulfillment of the Nevuah of Zechariah, of the Yotzom Arviv, Yotzom HaChamishi, Sasunul Simcha?
Okay, we're looking forward to that being fulfilled. There's no question. We are always looking forward for that to be fulfilled. You know, that's... no question about that, you know.
Is there any special way to celebrate Shabbos when it is Tisha B'Av?
There are all kinds of shitas. The Gra felt they should treat the Shabbos like any other Shabbos, and the Septa says that the Apil Kisuda Shlomo, you know, there are no differences. Others, the Ramah, it seems that they were somewhat, they didn't learn after Chatzos, all kinds of, and they were more, there are different practices, you know. The Gra's opinion was you had to treat it like every other Shabbos, even though it's the day of the event, but Shabbos is Shabbos, and that's the halacha is, even if somebody died, Mesa Musa Lafana, whatever it is, it's you treat Shabbos as Shabbos. You know?
Can you clarify, because you mentioned Machlokas about Shavua Shechalbo this year, but the other fasts don't have any din of Shavua Shechalbo?
That's right, only Tisha B'Av. Only Tisha B'Av has a special, because Tisha B'Av is special. That's when the Churban took place. That's the ultimate day. And matter of fact, according to the Rambam, during Bayi Sheni, during the second base of Mikdash, for the most part, Tisha B'Av, the Jews were required even during Bayi Sheni to fast. The other fast days was Ratzu Misanim, Ratzu Ein Misanim. It was up to them whether to fast. You know, that's so Tisha B'Av has special significance. You know, it's Shavuos Betamuz has a double aspect. Shavuos Betamuz, on one hand, is a fast day, is associated with the event of itself. And then Shavuos Betamuz, independent of its own day, is sort of like the beginning of the period leading us into Tisha B'Av. You understand? Let's say the time of... So they're a person in a sense. You have to be aware of Tisha B'Av coming. It shouldn't be. It just happened all of a sudden. Understand? That's what it is.
After Shabbos, when we have to change our shoes to the non-leather shoes, can we leave our Shabbos clothes on, or do we have to take off our Shabbos clothes also?
If you're in shul, you don't take off your Shabbos clothes. You take it off if you're in the house, and you take off your Shabbos clothes.
I mean, is it required? I mean, I know that in our shul we're going to daven mincha early, so people heat their sudum half a second later, and then they're going to come back to Shul Tamar.
The custom is to change it by Baruch Hu, to change the shoes by Baruch Hu.
Even though, let's say, it's already an hour and a half after Shkia?
I guess if it's an hour and a half after Shkia, so then the person could wear his other clothes. In other words, according to the opinion, that there is no Tosfos Shabbos after an hour and a half after Shkia. Question is, how long could there be Tosfos Shabbos adding to Shabbos?
Since this year Tisha B'Av is really celebrated observed on the 10th of Av, on the day after, where usually we can't do certain things till midday, does that apply this year?
The what?
Like not to eat meat for half a day.
No. It's only during the night and only for meat and wine.
So this year on Sunday night when we break the fast, we're not allowed to have meat or wine that evening. But the next morning, you could do laundry right away.
There are leniencies during the night. If somebody had a bris on Tisha B'Av, and the people obviously couldn't eat except for the Baal bris, and they make a party, so then you could do it at night. You know, so if there's a mitzvah, a Suda's mitzvah, then you could certainly eat meat. You know. Motzei Asiri B'Av.
So we still shouldn't take a shower after Tisha B'Av this year, but you can do it for in the morning.
I think this year you could. This year, I think you can limit it to. I don't want to paskin for anybody, but this year you certainly could limit it to meat and wine. There's some that supply that every year, but. This year, that it's only extra. It's only significant in regard to meat and wine.
Okay, about Tisha B'Av being called a moed. What's the difference between a holiday and a moed? Does it being moed, does that mean that Tisha B'Av is a holiday, or is it
okay? It seems to me that from the perspective of being a moed, so the Gemara mentions that. The moment Tisha B'Av was the Churban took place, the Mashiach was born. Now, what that means is that there are two perspectives to Golus. You can see Golus as a trip away from Eretz Yisrael, and you could see Golus, you see exile as a trip returning to Eretz Yisrael. Returning to the base of Mikdash, returning to Yerushalayim. And it's simultaneously both. On one hand, the Jewish people on Tisha B'Av, figuratively as a nation, they had to leave their land. They had the base of Mikdash was destroyed. On the other hand, they had the challenge of returning. So the trip back to Yerushalayim began on Tisha B'Av. The building of the base of Mikdash began on Tisha B'Av, the rebuilding of the base of Mikdash. As Reb Chaim Balozhiner says, before the base of Mikdash Lamata is built, the base of Mikdash Lamala has to be built. And we rebuild the base of Mikdash Lamala with our deeds. And a matter of fact, it says that the Kol V'Sabel al Yerushalayim Zoche B'Roe B'Nechamasa. He merits to see its rebuilding. It doesn't say, Reb Chaim Volozhin pointed out, it doesn't say Yiske. He will merit, but Zoche B'Roe B'Nechamasa. So in a sense, the mourning itself is the process of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. It's the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash B'Shamayim in heaven. And in a sense, it's the rebuilding of the Jewish people down on earth, because when we mourn the Beis HaMikdash, we show that the Beis HaMikdash is significant to us. And once the Beis HaMikdash is significant to us, then we prepare ourselves, we're preparing ourselves to be on the road back to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash.
Okay, so thank you. We don't have any other questions here. So everyone have a good week. Mirz Hashem, next Sunday we will have share, but not on Tisha B'Av observed.
Yeah.
Or I guess okay. If Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, if Mashiach comes first, we might have a share on Tisha B'Av.
Okay.
To paraphrase.
If Mashiach comes first, maybe Mashiach will give the share. Okay. I'm mochel.
Okay.
Okay, everything should go well. Okay.
Thank you.